Suzanne's going to actually lead.
Oh, okay, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Suzanne Morsfield, thank you for your time today and your thoughts and views. Our objective today is to give you a brief update on the Disclosure Initiative projects and to gather your views on our plans and coordinating among the various projects. So, to start off with, perhaps can I refer you to the graphic in paragraph 2 that gives you the timeline of where we're at in the short term, sort of what the view looks like. So we've issued a materiality practice statement, which I know you discussed yesterday. In the December board meeting, we will, and I'll come back to this, we'll do a board paper on the standards level review project. We also, in December, will have finalized the amendments to IAS 7, the debt reconciliation. In January, the amendments made late 2014 will become effective, the amendments to IAS 1. In February, we will reach the end of the comment period on the materiality practice statement exposure draft. In March, late March, possibly early April, we will issue the principles of disclosure discussion. And we'll have a 150-day comment period for the board. And then in April, we'll be back here, hopefully meeting with all of you to talk about the standards level review project after we have put the proposal in front of the board next week. So let's dig into, in a little bit more detail, into the principal disclosure discussion project and its interaction with the standards level review project. And I'll refer you again to the graphic in Appendix A. I think that helps lay things out rather nicely. We are finalizing drafting the discussion paper, Principles of Disclosure. We will be seeking feedback during the comment period for the idea of proposing revisions to IAS 1 or a new general disclosure standard somewhere in 2017 and beyond. At the same time, we will be gathering feedback from the PAW disclosure paper that will help us develop a drafting guide, with the idea of using that drafting guide to improve our own writing of disclosure requirements in our existing and future standards. One of the pieces of feedback we've gotten is that our own drafting of disclosure requirements is part of the disclosure problem. And so we want to undergo a project that takes a better look at how we draft. Part of what is in the POD discussion paper is a section that, with the assistance of the New Zealand Accounting Standards Board, proposes some ways we could restructure our own drafting guidelines, improve them, and actually proposes some examples to specific restructuring of specific standards. When we get the feedback from that part of the discussion paper, the POD discussion paper, we will continue to improve the drafting guidelines with the idea also of testing the drafting guidelines and the drafting guide on either targeted standards or targeted issues across all standards. What we would look for you today is feedback that we could bring to the board from you about anything in what we're doing, as well as the standards level review project.
Okay. For discussion. Yukio?
Yeah, thank you. We believe that the drafting guideline is very, important and useful, because it would constitute the cornerstone for the future disclosure requirement. At the same time, ISB's staff paper of the December 2015 board meeting indicate that it will not be exposed for public consultation. But we have understood that the drafting guideline would be published in the discussion paper for the disclosure principles. And we are a little bit confused now. So could you explain what would be included in the drafting guideline and why you think it unnecessary for the ISB to solicit views on the guideline from stakeholders?
Great question. What will be in the discussion paper will be initial proposals for ways we could redraft or approach how we draft disclosure guidelines, as well as some samples, examples, I believe it's IS 16 and IFRS 3, that take on board some of the principles that are suggested in that section. So, for example, the New Zealand folks brought up that we can be, when we write, overly prescriptive. And so they took an approach of looking at two standards and saying, if we weren't as overly prescriptive in these two, how could we write these? So we're laying that out as a smaller version of it, sort of a streamlined version, putting it in a discussion paper to gather feedback so that we can get feedback when we put the discussion paper out for public comment, and then that becomes part of the feedback loop that perhaps isn't as clear as it could be in Appendix A, but there's a feedback loop from the discussion paper section that helps us create a more formal drafting guide. The drafting guide as well, would need to be potentially tested, and that's subject to the board's decisions next week. But the part that's in POD is a streamlined version that's bringing some interesting ideas for public comment so that we can bring those potentially into the formal guide. Does that help?
I also think that what's in the POD discussion paper, which the New Zealand guys have drafted, it would be a subset of what we'd actually see in that broader guidelines. I think as in the board paper, it would most probably deal a bit with processes, maybe dealing to some other issues. So I think it's only part of what we'd see in that guide. Now, the question about whether it should be exposed is something we're going to ask the board. So it's good to get your feedback to have a sense that I'm thinking that you'd prefer that it was exposed and it was subject to due process.
Well, what Susan has just presented is in fact what was expected at the time the disclosure issue was identified as a priority. So it seems to be really meeting the expectations. On this particular question of the drafting guidelines, in fact, I thought it was meant to be exposed. So the answer on that one. together with the principle of disclosure.
Andreas?
Thanks, I have a question regarding the interface between the POT discussion paper / project and the conceptual framework. Because there's one work stream which I feel is missing here, which is the quote-unquote disclosure framework, so the guidelines for the board rather than the staff as to how you draft disclosures, but really to think about when do we want disclosures, what's the justification for that? Is there anything that will come out of that stream, or will that be an extra stream, or has it not yet been projected?
It's great to get your input on that. We would like to see the when question addressed. It's part of, going to Christine's point, part of the disclosure guidelines, could include guidelines itself, like avoiding overly prescriptive language and having examples of that, having processes sort of defined, including perhaps timing of when we start talking about disclosures, at what point in the deliberation process, and as well as perhaps some tools and technology. So I think we would see that as a piece of what the drafting guide would include and propose to include.
Because the reason I'm asking, I think, is probably twofold. If you say you aim at the POT paper to, in the end, change behavior of preparers in how they go about disclosure requirements, I think that's one fair point. However, that only kicks in if there was a disclosure in the first place. So the question as to do we really need or do we really want a disclosure, I think is a question that still has to be answered, and I don't see any framework. The second bit, I think, where I think it matters, touches on a different point, and that is the IFRS taxonomy. So I think exercising judgment is fine and makes sense if you believe the end result is a written financial report still being done on paper. If you think about electronic filing, I believe that things are much more difficult, because the taxonomy, in a way, given that this electronic, has to be binary, met, not met, something like that. So what do you think could be the interaction between the taxonomy, if any at all, and the POT project?
I'd just maybe disagree with the idea that the taxonomy is a binary relationship. So the taxonomy is almost a dictionary or a listing of all the possible disclosure requirements that are in the IFRS, plus some that are commonly reported in practice, and the way that the taxonomy has been developed means that entities can extend that for things which they report. So it's almost, I wouldn't say it's binary, it's almost like a shopping list or a shopping. You can go in and pick those items which are relevant to your financial statements. So if you don't meet one, then it's not a requirement. So I wouldn't look at it as constraining. And I also think that the taxonomy should reflect our disclosure requirements, and it brings discipline into those disclosure requirements, so that when we set them, that we know that they could be replicated through the taxonomy or some other digital form, equally as being reported on paper, because I think we can't suggest that both formats or descriptions won't be used in the future. I think for us, we need to be clear that the requirements are almost technology or delivery neutral, and in the knowledge that they will be delivered in different ways. I think going back to the conceptual framework, I think it's a good question, though, as to how these guidelines might coordinate with the conceptual framework, and obviously they need to be consistent, but I think there's the broader question, should they have sort of the nature of a conceptual framework basis, and that's something we haven't explored with the board, and it's a good point that we should perhaps address it more fully.
Could I maybe comment a bit on the interaction with the framework as well, because it was a thing that worried me a bit when we were developing the exposure draft, what the relationship should be between the framework and the principles of exposure. And it seems to me that anything that's directed primarily at the preparers needs to live really mainly at the standards level, not the framework level. I think one of the other questions is, to what extent do you put disclosures in the general disclosure standard, or do you sprinkle them through individual standards? And I think that's another open question at the moment. Personally, I'd be more in favour of moving more into general disclosure standard, but that's still to be decided. So the question then really is, what's left over that the framework should help with, and the board is going to be the main user, I think, of anything in the framework about disclosures, and that's a bit difficult to say, I think, while principal disclosure is still quite a moving target as well. I can't see any points in repeating things in the framework if they're already addressed appropriately in the general disclosure standard. In terms of drafting guidelines, I think that document could cover a range of different things. If it's talking about when to require disclosures or what sort of things to take into account, then if that's not a general disclosure standard, perhaps the framework is the best place for that. If it's more about how do you write the requirements or internal processes for getting to them, then that's probably a different type of story. So I think there are several different documents there, and they interact in different ways, and they're all still moving targets at the moment.
Yeah, just to add, I mean, Christy made the comment that we should look at technology as a kind of a neutral thing. I think that's true in the short term, but a little bit your comment, Andreas, was, it depends what format you're, is it paper or is it not paper? And we have this question in the structure and effectiveness review about the role of technology, and is it just a medium or is it not just a medium? I mean, personally, and this is a personal view, I think it's more than a medium. I think in 100 years' time, will we just be doing paper-based financial statements? Extremely unlikely. What is that new format? We don't know, but does it mean that disclosure will look different? I would think almost certainly yes. So at some point, we have to get there.
Tom?
I want to build on Andreas' comment about the conceptual framework, since we have a similar process underway with all these moving parts, but we've also started it with a disclosure framework chapter. And it's provided some very strong benefits in terms of pulling all the pieces of the of your disclosure initiative together. Our disclosure framework projects have had the benefits of having us consistently think about what the outside boundary of the notes are, what should be in the notes, what shouldn't be in the notes. It may end up in a presentation area to helping define the inside boundary, what should be on the face of the statements, what should be in the notes. But it's provided us a very consistent basis to think about disclosure requirements throughout every topic, whether it's the general disclosure standard or every single standard. And it's allowed us a basis when we go back to evaluate prior disclosure requirements to consistently recommend things to delete that were not within the framework or to add, so that the disclosures aggregate better throughout the notes if there's similar bases all the way throughout. But even more importantly, it's given us an ability to write the disclosure requirements more effectively. The danger, you're talking about structuring writing disclosure requirements with objectives. And what I've seen from New Zealand is the objectives they're writing pretty much come out of the objective of financial reporting, which doesn't touch directly to a particular event, transaction, or circumstance very easily. But the disclosure framework, when we go through and answer those questions, give us the ability to write much more effective, specific disclosure objectives to be able to therefore minimize the listing of requirements. So if we know what we're trying to achieve and we're going to suggest you think about these things based on materiality and complying with it, it's very important to have those objectives be more specific to the topic that you're writing the disclosures for, and so it helps immensely. So I think it's been highly advantageous to have a disclosure framework chapter, and I would suggest you consider doing that to help with the whole effort in the project. We'd be happy to share our chapter at some point or other. We're using it now to test out 4 standards, 2 of which were clearly poster children for over-disclosure, one that had not enough and too much, and one that has definitely not enough disclosure inventory. And we're applying the framework to propose changes to collectively come back in a workshop to try to finalize the framework.
Your disclosure framework, will that be in the conceptual framework?
Yes.
Or not a standalone document?
That's right.
And is it, you're not done, is it exposure draft stage?
We've had commentary. We've talked about what we might want to do to respond to the commentary. But in effect, we want to really show what it would mean for real disclosures before finalizing. We're trial testing it with 4 topics: fair value measurement, post-retirement benefits, income taxes, and inventory. And we're in the process of exposing those changes based on the framework to come back and bring and have a collective discussion, including with the application of materiality.
And the, in the slides that we're taking to the board, and I mentioned earlier the work that we're doing with New Zealand people, the New Zealand standard setter, that's in the discussion paper, is only part of what we might think might feed into what those guidelines might look at. And I think we've specifically mentioned the FASB's proposals as well as being something that we'd need to look at to determine how to shape what those guidelines might be.
I wanted to react on the taxonomy issue because I may be lacking vision or be old-fashioned. But to me, in external financial reporting, there is reporting. And so the whole objective is really, in my view, to bring relevant information. So what needs to be considered. So I'm very much of the view of Christie that the vehicle should not have an influence on the content. And if the change of vehicle would mean that what is being done on materiality and trying to get a helpful practice statement out on this would lose relevance and usefulness, I would be really sorry. So I think, at least my view is that it should be indifferent. Okay. Yeah, I'm happy at a point in time to see things.
In long term, we all died.
If electronic filing
all at the same time.
But if electronic highly means it's easy to communicate massive information, so let's overload everybody and let them find out whatever they need. I think you would lose the objective, main objective of communication.
So I think when we've looked at the taxonomy and technology, it's tended to highlight aspects of actual reporting. So standardization and comparability is something that's discussed a lot in the taxonomy world, because actually it's an underlying issue in financial reporting more generally. And in terms of being neutral, I think actually we've tended to be not neutral about the delivery of information, and very much focus when we're talking about standards and developing standards is thinking in paper. And I think as a board we need to be a bit more cognizant that actually information is going to come to users in a lot of different ways, and in particular the sort of the precision around the language that you use has been something that's been very beneficial from considering how you might deliver the information. So I think there's a lot of interactions in a good way which actually promotes what you want out, which is actually a better disclosure in the end.
Chris?
Just on a slightly different perspective, we think it would be really useful to be clear that there is an intention to go back and have a look at the old standards, because I think that's really important as part of the whole process. So just getting your actual thoughts on what that would look like and where that would be in the project planning stage would be good too.
Okay. Is that all?
Okay. So we, as Suzanne mentioned, we're taking a paper to the board next week, which will actually go through this. So I think we'll be bringing this back in April to discuss in a bit more detail with a bit more solid sort of views as to the way forward.
All right. Thank you very much. We're a bit ahead of schedule.